يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وابقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات.
Brothers and sisters, please recite three salawat to welcome Sheikh Azhar Nasser. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. صلى على For the love of Rasulullah, a second salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. For the hastening of the reappearance of the Imam of our time, a third salawat in the loudest of your voices. اللهم صل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد ولعنة الله على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ثم أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه وقال الله هذا يوم ينفع الصادقين صدقهم لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عن ذلك الفوز العظيم صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد Respected elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have the opportunity to meet once again and to spend some time reflecting on the life and the legacy of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, as well as our beloved sixth Imam, Al-Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq salawatullahi alayhima. Allahumma salli. During the lifetime of the Prophet, there was a man by the name of Thawban. He was a companion of the Holy Prophet. And this man had so much love for the Prophet that the narrations say that he actually used to get separation anxiety when he was away from the Prophet. On one occasion, he goes to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and his face was pale. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he asks him, why do I see that the color of your face has changed? You look pale. So Thoban, he says, Ya Rasulullah, so the Prophet is wondering, are you ill? Are you sick? What's the matter with you? So he says to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, ma biya min maradin wala waja, that I don't have any pain, nor do I have a sickness or an illness. غَيْرَ أَنِّي إِذَا لَمْ أَرَكَ اشْتَقْتُ إِلَيْكَ. My problem, Ya Rasulullah, is that when I don't see you, I yearn to come and be with you. حَتَّى أَلْقَاكَ. But the problem is, when I come to see you, I start to think about the Akhirah. I start to think about where you will be in the hereafter and where I will be. Hatta alqaak thumma dhakartu al-akhirah fa akhafu an la araka hunak. Thoban says, Ya Rasulullah, I love you so much. I'm so attached to you. When I don't see you, I yearn for you and I come to see you. But when I see you, I think about the Akhirah, and I think about where you will be, and I think about where I will be. لِأَنِّي عَرَفْتُ أَنَّكَ تُرْفَعْ مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Ya Rasulullah, I know that in the hereafter, you will be in the company of prophets. وَإِنِّي إِنْ دَخَلْتُ الْجَنَّةِ كُنْتُ فِي مَنْزِلَةٍ أَدْنَى مِنْ مَنْزِلَتِكَ. Allahu Akbar. Look at this man. Thoban is telling the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, I'm worried that I might not be able to see you very much in the Akhirah. Because you will be raised to a high degree in paradise. And if I make it into Jannah, surely I will be at a lower level of paradise. And if I end up in the hellfire, then I will never be able to see you. So he expresses this concern. Thoban is telling the Prophet that, Ya Rasulullah, I'm worried. I already feel anxiety in dunya when I'm not with you. I yearn to be with you. And I feel like maybe after death, I'm not going to see you very much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this conversation between the Prophet and Thoban, Allah reveals an ayah of the Qur'an to comfort the heart of this mu'min who wants nothing more than to be with Rasulullah in dunya and in akhirah. What's the ayah that Allah reveals? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ayah number 69 of Surah An-Nisa. Surah 4, ayah 69. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ. Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Allah says, whoever obeys Allah and who obeys the Messenger, he or she will be with those whom Allah has favored from among the prophets, the truthful ones, as-siddiqeen, the martyrs and the pious. And these are the best companions to have. Notice that one of those groups is what? As-siddiqeen, those who have this quality of truthfulness, meaning that they are truthful in their words, in their actions, in their intentions, they radiate truth. These people will be in the company of the Prophet. Now, a question that poses itself here, is that how do we reconcile between the levels of Jannah and the fact that people will be with Rasulullah in Jannah? Now Rasulullah, he's at the highest level of paradise, but the Quran suggests, that tells us that people like Thawban and other mu'mineen, they will be in the company of Rasulullah. You know, sometimes we have this impression that Jannah is like some type of skyscraper, that you have, it's like an elevator. This is level one, and then above it is level two, and then above it is level three, and you go to level 6,000, however many ayat there are of the Quran. What is the difference between the experience of those who are in those higher levels and those who are in the lower levels? Because ultimately Allah says, وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مَا يَشَاءُونَ, that for people in Jannah, they will be given what they desire. They will be given everything that they want. So how can there be levels if everyone is given what they want? I'll give you a very simple analogy to illustrate what this means. You and I, if I ask you, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to give you the opportunity to have anything, the only things that would come to mind are things that you have understood, that you can comprehend through your experience with your five senses. Because that is all that you have understood. We have five senses. If I were to ask you now, can you think of a sixth sense? Can you think of a seventh sense? We live in a three-dimensional world. Can you think of a world that has 10 dimensions? 100 dimensions? So it seems that those who are in the higher levels of Jannah, even when they are sitting with people who are of those lower levels, they perceive and they enjoy things that the people of the lower levels don't enjoy. Because Allah has opened up dimensions for them that they have not, that He has not opened up for people of those lower dimensions. In the same way that the fetus that is in the womb of the mother, all it knows is that world, that womb. It cannot even conceive of what is outside of it. So, yes, Allah will give the people of paradise whatever they wish. But those who have been given those further dimensions, what they will experience and what they will desire will be much deeper than what the average mu'mineen in paradise desire. Now, the reason why I mention this story is to highlight the significance of Sidq. You know, since we're speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi and the sixth Imam, of course, there are many similar qualities between these two infallibles. They are essentially mere images of each other. But one of the most prominent, one of the most salient qualities that we see in the Prophet and in the sixth Imam is this quality of Sidq. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi was known as As-Sadiq al-Amin. And the sixth Imam is known as what? Ja'far as-Sadiq. This quality of Sidq is significant. It's important. And therefore tonight, brothers and sisters, I want to spend a little bit of time discussing this virtue of Sidq. You know, brothers and sisters, when we think about truthfulness, we automatically think about this virtue as a social virtue. When I say truthfulness, your mind automatically, by default, assumes that we are talking about truthfulness with others. Because Sidq is mainly a social virtue. However, one of the most important aspects of truthfulness is actually to be truthful with yourself. الصدق مع النفس. To be truthful with yourself. The problem is, some of us are never able to be honest with others because we haven't even learned how to be honest with ourselves, to be truthful to ourselves. There's a narration where Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullahi alayhi, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. The narration says, and this is something that is very practical for us to implement. The narration says, كان أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب إذا أثني عليه في وجهه. Whenever Amir al-Mu'mineen was praised, and you can imagine how many people were praising Ali ibn Abi Talib. When anyone would praise him to his face, the narration says, يقول, he would say four things to himself. Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he is praised, he has a conversation with his nafs. And this is something that I want each and every one of us to start to implement. Four things. Whenever Ali ibn Abi Talib is praised, when anyone praises him to his face, he says four things secretly to himself. Number one, he makes a dua essentially that has four sentences. He says, Allahumma innaka a'lamu minni binafsi. O Allah, you know me better than I know myself. You know, sometimes when people praise us, we start to believe the hype. We start to fall into self-admiration. Our ego grows. And we potentially become very delusional. We fall into ujb or kibr. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam here teaches us to put the brakes. Sometimes we have to hit the brakes a little bit. You know, oftentimes we feel hurt by criticism. But I think that sometimes praise can be more dangerous than criticism. Because criticism, at least it keeps you humble. The praise is what's dangerous, especially when you are in a public position. Especially when you're good at what you do, you get a lot of praise. Amir al-Mu'mineen, first lesson, you have to speak to Allah. Oh Allah, you know me better than I know myself. Number two, وَأَنَا أَعْلَمُ بِنَفْسِي مِنْهُمْ. And I know myself better than they know me. The people who praise me, they only get little snapshots of my life. They only know a few things. But I know myself. I know all of my shortcomings. I know about all of the sins. I know about all of my transgressions. I know about all of my character faults, my character flaws. I know myself better than they know me. And then the Imam says, number three, Allahumma ja'alni khayran mimma yadhunnun. Oh Allah, help me become better than what they say. So there's this ambition that I don't want to just reach the rank that they are speaking about. Make me exceed the praise that they're giving. Make me better than what they think. And most importantly, وَغْفِرْ لِي مَا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And forgive me for the sins that they don't know about. They only know about the good things that I do. Because you covered my sins. You expose my good qualities, my good actions. But oh Allah, forgive me for the sins that they don't know about. You see, brothers and sisters, in this short hadith, we're taught a very important lesson, is that we have to be honest with ourselves. You know, there's an interesting story, a beautiful story, about Imam Khomeini when he was in France, when he was exiled to France. They wanted to do a documentary about his daily life. what he does day in and day out. And they wanted to document and showcase the simplicity of this man who is heading an entire revolution. So they were filming the table spread, the type of food that he would eat. And you can imagine it was very simple food. At this moment, on that particular day, the food was a little bit more simple than other days. Meaning that maybe some bread and some eggs and some cheese, it was very simple. And they were filming that day. He said that, "I don't want you to film this table spread because it gives an exaggerated picture of the simplicity. Because some days we eat chicken, some days we have meat." So here, the importance is what? Yes, maybe you can deceive others, but you cannot deceive yourself. You shouldn't deceive yourself. Let's be honest about who we are. Let's be honest about where we stand. So one important aspect of sidq is what? To be honest with yourself. To look yourself in the mirror and see yourself as you are. And this is why it's very important to have genuine friends who care about your well-being, who care about your development. Imam As-Sadiq, salawatullahi alayhi, he says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says, أحب إخواني من أهدى إلي عيوبي. That the most beloved of my brethren are the ones who gift me my shortcomings. Meaning, they give me constructive criticism. Why is constructive criticism important? You know, many people, they like to surround themselves with cheerleaders. We like to surround ourselves with people who are always patting us on the back. Now, of course, we need words of encouragement. But we also need people who are going to be honest with us. We need people who are going to help us be honest with ourselves. So this is one aspect of sidq. Another obvious aspect of sidq is the importance of telling the truth. We shouldn't be individuals who lie. You know, there was a man who came to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and it's really amazing. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. One of the most fascinating things that I find about our hadith literature is when you see these narrations of people being completely honest with the Prophet about their problems, about who they are. There was a man who came to the Prophet. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, astasirru bi khilali arba." Ya Rasulullah, there are four things that I indulge in for my enjoyment. There are four things that I'm addicted to. What are they? He tells the Prophet this. He says, "Az-zina wa shurbul khamr wa sariqa wal kadhib." He says, "Ya Rasulullah, there are four things that I enjoy. It's my hobby. I fornicate, I drink, I steal, and I lie." MashaAllah, what a resume. He says, "Ya Rasulullah, I enjoy these things. But for you, Ya Rasulullah, because of my love for you, I'm willing to give up one of them. I want to hold on to three of them. But I want to give up, I'll give up one out of my respect for you. And I will let you choose which one I should give up." Believe me, brothers and sisters, if someone were to come to us and say, you know, which one of these should I give up? I think that we would probably not give the same answer as the Prophet. Do you know what the Prophet said? He says, "Don't lie." So the man thought, "Oh, this is the easiest one. Alhamdulillah. No big deal. I can still fornicate, drink, and steal." The narration says that he made a promise to the Prophet that "I will never lie." Later that day, he saw a woman that he wanted to fornicate with. He wanted to commit zina. And as he was about to commit zina, he thought to himself that if I see the Prophet, He's going to ask me, you know, what I did, you know, if I committed the other sins, and I'm too embarrassed to tell him. If I commit zina, I'm too embarrassed to admit. And I cannot lie because I promised that I would not lie. He then had an opportunity to steal. And he had the same conversation that, you know, what if the Prophet asks me about whether I stole or not? I'm going to have to be honest with him. I'm too embarrassed to admit these other sins. So because of his commitment to not lying, he never fornicated, stole, or drank ever again. So you see that abandoning this sin of lying, believe me, and we should try it, brothers and sisters. If you make a vow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am going to be a truthful person, I'm never going to lie, I'm not going to be deceptive, I'm going to be honest, you'll be amazed by how many sins you will refrain from automatically because of your commitment to truth, because of your commitment to truthfulness. And this, brothers and sisters, is one of the most powerful indicators of iman. You know, sometimes we think that the best indicator of faith is salah. Now, of course, no one is underestimating the significance of prayer. But usually, when we want to determine if someone is religious, we look at, okay, do they pray? Do they fast in the month of Ramadan? Do they come to the masjid? Do they give sadaqah? Do they read Quran? Do they read dua? If they tick all of these boxes, you and I would consider such a person to be religious. But look at how Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam redefine true religiosity. In fact, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, لَا تَغْتَرُّوا بِصَلَاتِهِمْ وَلَا بِصِيَامِهِمْ. The Imam says, when you come across someone who is religious, don't be fooled by their prayers and by their fasting. It's important to pray and fast. And a true mu'min does pray and fast. But just because you pray and fast, it doesn't mean that you're mu'min. You might be lacking other fundamental qualities. لا تغتروا بصلاتهم ولا بصيامهم. You may say, oh Imam, why is that? فَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ رُبَّمَا لَهِجَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّوْمِ حَتَّى لَوْ تَرَكَهُ اسْتَوْحَشْ. You know, human beings, we're creatures of habit. If we do something every day, it becomes a habit. And things, and to give you just an example of how worship can be, ritual worship becomes a habit, there are many people who ask me, Shaykh, I'm traveling, you know, to a nearby city. I'm going to Kelowna. Do I have to break my fast? I'm only going for a few days. Can I fast or do I have to break my fast? I say, no, you have to break your fast. They say, but Sheikh, it's not a big deal. I want to fast. I know you want to fast. But Ja'far al-Sadiq says you have to break your fast. The law of God dictates that you have to break your fast. And some people say, no, I insist on fasting. This shows us that for some people, it's just a habit. It's not about earning the pleasure of Allah. It's not about doing what is going to be pleasing to Allah. It's a habit. Just like I have a habit of sitting here, sitting on this chair in the house, and wearing certain clothes, salah has become like a garment. I just mechanically wear it. So the Imam is saying, don't be deceived by people's prayers and people's fasts. Because if you look at history, the people who killed Imam al-Hussein, they prayed. The one who struck Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam woke up for Salat al-Fajr. Some of us can't even wake up for Salat al-Fajr. Many of the Khawarij, they had these qualities. They prayed more than you and I. They fasted more than you and I. So we ask Imam al-Sadiq on a night like this, what is a better indicator of faith? What should we look for when we want to determine if someone is truly mu'min? Imam says, وَلَكِنْ اخْتَبِرُوهُمْ عِنْدَ صِدْقِ الْحَدِيثِ وَأَدَاءِ الْأَمَانَةِ. The Imam says, test them when it comes to the truthfulness of their speech and their trustworthiness. This is where you separate the real mu'mineen from the mu'mineen who have a lot of work to do. Sidq al-hadith wa ada' al-amana. Now, why do people lie? Have you ever wondered, you know, sometimes you meet people who are habitual liars. Why do people lie? Why do so many people have this negative quality? You know, brothers and sisters, what's interesting about truth and falsehood is that when you think about haqq, haqq exudes strength. Because, you know, truth can exist independently of a lie. Truth doesn't need a lie to exist. But a lie needs a truth. A lie can only exist if there is what? If there's a truth. So a lie is weak because it has to depend on a truth. Whereas the truth is strong. It doesn't need a lie to stand on its own. And therefore you find that a person who lies is a person who is actually weak. To lie is a sign of weakness. You know why? Because why do people lie? People lie because they want to get something that they don't feel that they can get unless they lie. There's something that they're lacking that they want to acquire. Or there is something that they have that they don't want to lose. So ultimately, people lie because there is something that they think that they can gain, or they lie because of fear of losing something, either material or something immaterial. They're afraid of losing their wealth, losing their status, losing their reputation. So ultimately, lying is done for this transactional purpose, a hope of gaining something or a fear of losing something. So what is the solution to this? What's amazing is that the solution, the treatment for lying is tawheed. Think about that. The treatment for kadhib is what? Tawheed. It's to know that ultimately, whatever you want, only Allah can give it to you. And whatever you are afraid of losing, only Allah can preserve it for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is an ayah that I want everyone here tonight to make a note of. Surah Yunus, Surah 10, ayah 107. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا Allah says, if Allah wants to send an affliction towards you, if Allah wants you to go through a tribulation, there is no one who can repel it. وَإِن يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ And if Allah wants some goodness to reach you, no one can turn it away. No one can repel it. So ultimately, everything is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands. The things that you wish to gain, and the things that you're afraid to lose. He has full control over everything. So why would you do something to disobey Him? Wouldn't it be wiser to obey the One and seek to please the One who controls everything that you receive? Who has control over the things that are withheld and the things that are granted to you? The solution is what? The solution ultimately goes back to Tawheed. Now you and I may think that I don't lie. I'm a mu'min. But sometimes, my dear brothers and sisters, we commit these little lies and we don't even realize it. You know, this issue of telling the truth was so important that one day Imam Zainul Abideen, salawatullahi alayhi, Allahumma salli ala, he gathered all of the youngsters, the children in his home. And he said to them, you know, usually when we teach our children Islam, you know, in some of the madrasas, what do? They're 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, and we teach them how to bury a dead person. We teach them how to do ghusl al-mayyit. We teach them how to do tayammum. Now, I'm not saying these issues are not important. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, he's teaching these little kids about truthfulness. Akhlaq. What's the use of these learning ahkam if you don't even know how to behave like an insan? If you don't know how to behave like a human being? If you don't know akhlaq? If you don't know who your creator is? What your relationship to him is? So Imam, he says to these children, اتقوا الكذب الصغير منه والكبير. Imam says, be careful of telling small lies and big lies. في كل جد وهز. Don't tell lies, whether you are serious or even when you're joking. Even when you're joking. If you want to tell a joke, don't lie. If you want to make people laugh, don't lie to make people laugh. Be committed to truthfulness, even when you are telling a joke. The Prophet used to tell jokes. The Prophet had a sense of humor. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, he would never lie. He was always truthful. فَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ إِذَا كَذِبَ فِي الصَّغِيرِ اجْتَرَعَ عَلَى الْكَبِيرِ. Because if you get used to telling small lies, you are going to be emboldened to tell big lies. I'll give you an example of some of the things that we say that are not true, but we don't even realize that we're committing these small lies. A couple of examples. You know, sometimes we see our brothers and sisters in the masjid, and we say, and you have to ask yourself if this is true. Salaamu alaikum, brother. Alaikum as-salam. I haven't seen, brother, I always pray for you. Do you really always pray for him? You probably just remembered he existed just in this moment. Now, you may say, oh, what's the big deal? This is just something, I'm saying something nice. You can say something nice without lying. If you're not always praying for this person, don't say it. Just say, salam, how are you? There's no need to add these exaggeratory statements. I always pray. If you don't always pray, then don't say it. Brother, I missed you so much. Now, I hope it's true. But if it's not true, don't say it. Believe me, these are the things that our imams would tell us. That be honest. Rasulullah wouldn't utter words unless he really meant it. Maybe this person, you don't really like them. Now, I'm not saying you should be rude. But you can be kind without exaggerating. You can be courteous without committing these small lies. You know, I went on ziyarah, I remembered you at all of the atabat. And maybe you just remembered him when you saw him in the masjid. There's no need to commit these lies. Because if we start getting comfortable with what we call the white lies, then we're going to be emboldened because you've become habituated. So we have to always watch ourselves. We have to be truthful. Now, when it comes to truthfulness, my dear brothers and sisters, being someone who is sadiq, being someone who is truthful, doesn't mean that, okay, to be truthful means that I have to say everything. There are many things that are true, but they don't need to be spoken. Don't think that, oh, I'm so honest, then let me tell you what Fulan said about you behind your back. Yes, technically, you are conveying exactly what was said. But that's not what it means to be sadiq according to the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. There's a beautiful hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Allahumma salli ala. The Prophet, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَحَبَّ الْكَذِبَ فِي الصَّلَاحِ. Allah loves a lie that is spoken to bring hearts together. وَأَبْغَضَ الصِّدْقَ فِي الْفَسَادِ. And Allah hates a truthful word that creates fitna and corruption. Now you may say, are there situations where we are allowed to lie? The answer is yes. Truthfulness is important. But there are certain situations where Islam says you are permitted to lie, and in fact, it is better if you lie. Imam al-Sadiq, who we are honoring tonight, what does he say? He says, "Al-kadhib madhmumun illa fi amrayn." Lying is blameworthy except in two situations. Daf'u sharr al-zalama, to repel the evil of oppressors. If you're detained, for example, and you know that this oppressor wants to harm another mu'min, and they say, "Where is this person? Tell us or we're going to beat you." You have to take the beating. And you have to tell them. You don't tell them exactly where he is, because you may cause harm to another mu'min. So sometimes you lie to repel the oppression of an oppressor against others, and sometimes even against yourself. And this is what Ammar ibn Yasir did. He praised that he spoke a lie to save himself from the harm of the oppressors. When Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam slept in the bed of the Prophet, the Imam alayhi salam knew that the Prophet had left Mecca. He knew where the Prophet was. Did Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen tell Quraysh where the Prophet was? He didn't. To be sadiq doesn't mean that you always have to speak what is true. You have to know sometimes when to be silent. So to repel the evil of the wrongdoers, and what else? وَإِصْلَاحُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ. Look at the beauty of Islam. To make peace between two people who are fighting. There is some animosity between two mu'mineen. Islam says, the Imam says, you are allowed to lie to bring their hearts together. So let's say you have two people and you know one of them backbited against the other. And the other one comes to you and says, "Did so-and-so really say this about me?" Now some naive Muslims will think that I have to be sadiq, I have to be truthful. Yes, he said this and this, and since I'm so honest, let me tell you what else he said. Islam says, no. Here you are allowed to say that he didn't say anything negative about you. In fact, he said how wonderful you are. Yes, you're allowed to lie. Now think of how important sidq is. Yet in this situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives priority to love between mu'mineen. It takes priority to reconcile between mu'mineen has more priority than speaking the truth. Imagine how important this quality is, my dear brothers and sisters. You know, when we think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Is there anyone here who does not want to be with the Prophet, close to the Prophet on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of judgment, that day of difficulty, that day when all of humanity will be preoccupied? As Imam Zainul Abideen says in Dua Abi Hamza, أنظر مرة إلى يميني وأخرى إلى شمالي فإذا الخلائق في شأن غير شأن. I look to my right, I look to my left, and humanity, everyone is busy trying to save himself or herself from Jahannam. It's a difficult day, it's a very difficult day. On that day, we all want to be close to the Prophet. The safest place on the Day of Judgment is to be close to Rasulullah. But who is going to be close to the Prophet on that day? We don't have to guess, because the Prophet tells us who is going to be very close to him on that day. And the qualities that he mentions may surprise you. The Prophet says, أَقَرَبُكُم مِّنِّي غَدًا فِي الْمَوْقِفِ. Al-Mawqif is the standing place on the Day of Judgment. The ones who will be closest to me tomorrow, meaning the Day of Judgment. أصدقكم للحديث. Number one, the ones who will be closest to me. Now, there are degrees of closeness. The ones who are at the maximum proximity to me, who will be shoulder to shoulder with me on the Day of Judgment, very close, are the ones who are the most truthful in their speech. Look at صدق, how important it is. وَآدَاكُمْ لِلْأَمَانَةِ, and those who uphold the trusts, the amana. You know, amana is not just money. Amana is much more broad than, oh, you gave me money and I'm holding on to the money and then in a few weeks I'm going to return the money to you. Amana applies to even positions of leadership. If you're a scholar, the community is your amana. The knowledge that Allah gave you is an amana. Your husband is an amana. Your wife is an amana. Your children are an amana. This masjid is an amana. Ahlul Bayt, they are an amana. The Quran is an amana. How are you valuing these things that are precious? These amanat, are you taking care of them? وَأَوْفَاكُمْ بِالْعَهْدِ, and those who fulfill the promises. Don't break your promise to people, especially children. You know, our imams, they say that when you promise a child something, fulfill it. Because if you break your promise to a child, that will cause them permanent damage. Because they see you, the hadith says, they see you as their Lord. For you to break their promise to them, it's as if God has broken His promise. Because you provide, you're everything to them. So don't break the heart of a child. If you promise them a toy, you promise them to take them somewhere, you have to uphold these promises. Fulfill the promises. وَأَحْسَنُكُمْ خُلُقًا, those who have the most pleasant akhlaq, those who have the most noble manners, they will be the closest to the Prophet. And then what does the Prophet say? وَأَقْرَبُكُمْ مِنَ النَّاسِ, those who are the closest to people. People should feel comfortable around you. There are some people, when they walk into the room, they take the oxygen out of the air. They suffocate people with their presence. People feel uncomfortable around them. They feel judged by them. The Prophet wants us to have personalities whereby we're close to people. We're kind to people. We're compassionate to them. And my dear brothers and sisters, I'll end with this final hadith. A narration from our sixth imam, since we're remembering him tonight, remembering the words of light that came from this holy imam. The imam, alayhi salam, he had a companion by the name of Abdullah ibn Abi Afur. He was someone who was quite dear to Imam al-Sadiq. There was another man who came to visit the imam, and he was passing the salam of Abdullah ibn Abi Afur. So the man who came to the imam said, "Oh imam, Abdullah ibn Abi Afur sends his salam to you." The imam alayhi salam, he said to the man who conveyed the salam, that I have a message that I want you to deliver to Abdullah ibn Abi Afur. What's the message? And the message is for him, and it's for all of us tonight. The imam says to him, "Go, when you see Abdullah ibn Abi Afur, tell him the following. Tell him that Imam al-Sadiq says to you, انظر ما بلغ به علي عند رسول الله. Look at what Ali did to earn such a high position in the eyes of the Prophet. What did Ali do that made him so beloved to the Prophet? Rasulullah loved Amir al-Mu'mineen in a way that we cannot even describe. Rasulullah loved Ali ibn Abi Talib so much that even when the Prophet was with his wives and Ali comes, he would go sit and have a private conversation with Ali for hours. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi loved Ali, but why? What was it about Ali that made Ali different? انظر ما بلغ به علي عند رسول الله فألزمه. Hold on to that quality that Ali had that made him so beloved to the Prophet. You know, when we think about Ali, we think about the courage, the bravery, salatul layl, the charity. All of that is important. But there's one thing that There are two things that Imam is going to mention here. He says, فَإِنَّ عَلِيًّا إِنَّمَا بَلَغَ مَا بَلَغَ بِهِ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ Ali reached that high position with the Prophet because of two things. بِصِدْقِ الْحَدِيثِ وَأَدَاءِ الْأَمَانِ What made Ali so beloved to the Prophet, it was the truthfulness of his words. And it was the fact that Ali never did khiyana. Ali never betrayed anybody. Ali treated every person with dignity. He treated them as human beings. The Prophet was surrounded by people who exaggerate, who overpromise and underdeliver. But Ali was a man of his word. When Ali says something, he means it. When Ali is entrusted with something, he protects that amana. This is what made him the commander of the faithful. And this is what makes the Ahlul Bayt the chosen ones. And if we want to be close to the chosen ones, we have to develop these qualities, the quality of truthfulness especially. My dear brothers and sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be people who are at the service of truth. We ask Allah to make us among the truthful ones on the Day of Judgment. And ultimately we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us the company of the Prophets and the Siddiqeen and the Shuhada and the Salihin. وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا Because those are the best of companions. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ
Bar Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad salawat.
Jashn-e Sadiqain Mubarak to all of you. Inshallah, I'm going to recite a qasida on Imam Jafar Sadiq, salamullah alayhi. Ek durood par dijiye Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Salli ala nabiyyina Salli ala muhammadin Salli ala shafi'ina Salli ala muhammadin Durud parje Muhammad wa ali Muhammad Allahumma salli ala صداقت ناز کرتی ہے ارے صداقت ناز کرتی ہے امامت ایسی ہوتی ہے صداقت ناز کرتی ہے امامت ایسی ہوتی ہے خدا خود ناز فرمائے شریعت ایسی ہوتی ہے خدا خود ناز فرمائے شریعت ایسی ہوتی ہے امام جعفر صادق صداقت کا فلک ٹھہرے امام جعفر صادق صداقت کا فلک ٹھہرے لقب ہی پڑ گیا صادق صداقت ایسی ہوتی ہے خدا خود ناز فرمائے شریعت ایسی ہوتی ہے خزانہ علم کا وہ دونوں ہاتھوں سے لٹاتے ہیں خزانہ علم کا وہ دونوں ہاتھوں سے لٹاتے ہیں سخی کہتے ہیں ہم اس کو سخاوت ایسی ہوتی ہے درود پڑھ جائے محمد و آل محمد اللہم صلی علی محمد و آل صداقت ناز کرتی ہے امامت ایسی ہوتی ہے ہے تاریخ ولادت ایک ان کی اور محمد کی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اللہم صلی علی محمد و آل ہے تاریخ ولادت ان کی اور ان محمد کی ہے تاریخ ولادت ایک ان کی اور محمد کی نبوت اور امامت میں محبت ایسی ہوتی ہے نبوت اور امامت میں محبت ایسی ہوتی ہے مقتا پیش خدمت ہے ضروری ہے ہوا جیسے بقائے زندگانی کو ضروری ہے ہوا جیسے بقائے زندگانی کو ہمیں اپنے اماموں کی ضرورت ایسے ہوتی ہے हमें अपने इमामों की जरूरत ऐसे होती है सदाकत नाज करती है इमामत ऐसी होती है
Can I ask everyone to please rise for ziyarat?
بآل محمد عرف الصواب وفي أبياتهم نزل الكتاب بآل محمد عرف الصواب وفي أبياتهم نزل الكتاب فهم حجج الإله على البرايا فهم حجج الإله على البرايا بهم وبجدهم بهم وبجدهم لا يستراب صلوات السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليك وعلى ابن عمك أمير المؤمنين السلام عليك وعلى ابنتك سيدة نساء العالمين السلام عليك وعلى صبطيك الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة الصلاة والسلام على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي الصلاة والسلام عليك يا صاحب العصر والزمان عجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك وجعلنا من أنصارك وأعوانك والمستشهدين بين يديك وتحت لوائك والصلاة والسلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته
Brothers and sisters, Tabaruk has been served in the foyer. Thank you.